Do you follow your intuition? Do you ever get good feelings about people or situations? What to do when your fears become reality?
On this episode of Clutch by the Real Girlfriends Across America, powered by Building Rome.
Welcome to Clutch by RGAA, powered by Building Rome.
Real Girlfriends America of America is a company that has a foundation and a mission to build lifelong friendships with women across the globe. We broadcast Sunday through Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern. We always want to hear from you, and we're always looking for fresh topics. Tonight we have Corinne, Kelly, Alexis, and myself on the line, and we're going to be talking about fear and when it becomes or may be a reality. Our whole theme for this month of October is fear as well as breast cancer awareness, because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I've been talking about fears and intuitions, and tonight I want to talk about in relationships, especially with significant others or just friendships, when you have gut feelings or you have a fear that something's going on, and when to act on that or if you should act on that, and maybe we can tell some stories. So I wanted to start to ask you ladies, if you ever had a time in your lives when you had a gut feeling, you know, about a relationship, a boyfriend, just a friend, you had a gut feeling about something, you were right. And I want to hear about that story, how you felt and what happened. Let's start with you, Corinne.
Like a negative, I guess, gut feeling, like they were up to something?
No, it doesn't have to be negative, no.
I guess, because if it's like a gut feeling of something good, I mean, that's always, you know, a good thing. Negative, I mean, I think everyone always thinks has like a little intuition on something, like if someone's cheating on them, if someone's like backstabbing them, if they're not a good person.
Right.
I know that we had a conversation, like you have a dog, and I had the same breed of pit bull that you had. And I know my dog used to consider someone wasn't like a good person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I trust dogs' intuition more than I trust people. And my dogs, I have two pit bulls. And, yeah, one of them is very protective. And it's funny because I think those same instincts are in people, you know. And I think as people have a little more control over our reactions, I think, you know, and that's why dogs have a little bit more of their hair stands up and they growl and they get on edge because they can't handle it or can't control it as much, you know. It's kind of interesting. Hey, Kelly, what about you? Do you have a story for us about a time that you had a gut feeling about something, you were right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that must be the ideal question for me, because I'm always getting gut feelings about things and people and places. And I've had many gut feelings, not just on relationship, but people, places, and things. And I tend to be right on. Like, I try not to focus too much on looking to the balance of a future, because that's how you perceive and you get guts when you get into a quiet moment. So I try not to do that, but I cannot help it, and I tend to be right. Yes, affirmative.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way, and I've noticed in the last 2 years, I've had a lot of growth, and my instincts have fine-tuned themselves. But I think it has a lot to do, too, with my attitude about things as well, because, you know, I'm not so codependent on others. I'm not so easily quick to display things that I used to before. You know, I kind of hold myself back a little bit better, and I have a lot more patience, and I think that ties in to slow me down a lot, and that's probably a really good thing. Alexis, how about you, girl?
In all honesty, I'm usually the one that's the most caught one in my family. Only not to say that I'm a chicken and I won't pull the trigger on certain moments. I'm just more of a person that I'm a control freak. So it's very rare where I find myself in a situation that I put myself in that I don't know what the end results are going to be. I'm a control freak. So as to when I had a gut feeling and I was right, is I'm usually the one that gets to say, I told you so, because there are just certain people in my family who aren't going to change. They are who they are, and the quicker you learn that, and the quicker you just learn to accept that the situation is not going to change, the better off you are and the less frustrated you're going to be. So I had a situation where one person decided to come back into the fold and somebody else decided to give that person a chance. I said, now that's up to you if you want to give that person a second chance. But I am telling you point blank, that person has not changed, because people do not change colors overnight. She hasn't changed in how many years? And now all of a sudden she wants to sing a new tune. Okay, you go. I'm not going. So after the event, everybody told me that she hasn't changed. She's exactly the same way, maybe a little bit worse. And guess who got to say, I told you so?
Yeah.
And I said, I told you so. See, you should have just stayed home with me and we could have been on the couch making popcorn, watching a movie. But no, you were the moron that decided to hope that somebody would change. I told you so.
Right. It's so funny. You know, I'm at the point in life where when people ask me for my opinion, I'm always sure to let them know that, I mean, they need to be sure they want my opinion, because I've always been a brutally honest person and I don't hold back, because I would hope and expect that if I ask somebody if I look fat, my butt looks big in a pair of jeans, please tell me if my butt does not look good in these jeans. You know, that's the whole point of asking. And so why would we lie to each other? But I think people are so scared of letting each other down that you're going to, you know, maybe flip the truth a little bit. And I just don't do that anymore. And I'm a lot happier that way. So I'm going to tell a little story, which is going to lead us into the first part of this discussion. And one of the big things about that, you know, if you've ever been in a relationship that you've been cheated on, I want to talk about a little bit of the intuitions that we as women get. And I want to talk about, like, maybe some of the signs that you could be in tune to, red flags that maybe possibly your intuition is right, you know. And then I want to discuss whether you ladies think investigating, as in going through your significant other's phone and stuff like that, is right. Have you done it before? So I was in a relationship and I was living with this guy at the time, and things changed pretty quickly. And I noticed it and I felt it in my gut. And I asked him a few times, you know, what was wrong. I continued to try and I let it go for about a month. And then finally one day he had come home from work and went to sleep, and I did it. I went through his phone and I did find out that, you know, Craigslist used to have that Craigslist personals nonsense. And there were people just trying to hook up for God knows what. But I found so many messages of him, like, talking to all these different people on this, from this Craigslist ads. And it was just like such a just a letdown. But every single time I've had that feeling in my cicated into it, I've always been right. So, yeah, I want to know, Corinne, let's start with you. You know, if you want to share with us, have you ever been cheated on? Did you have intuitions about it? What were the signs that you saw? And just tell us a little bit about what happened.
I don't know if it was necessarily intuition opposed to this guy just sloppy and careless, and we are smarter than them.
Right.
the one time that I knew that someone, or figured that my ex was cheating on me, was basically, they came home, they were drunk out their mind, and they ordered food not in the way that they usually order food. I know that I was trying to reach them and they wasn't answering their phone, and then they came home drunk or whatever, and I knew where they were after the fact. And that wasn't, you know, they really were where I thought they were. But and that wasn't a big deal. The big deal was that they stopped answering their phone. And then they were like, oh, no, I remember what happened. But I'm like, you didn't remember what you ordered, but you remember what happened. Because the next day they were like, oh, when did you go out and get food? And I'm like, I didn't. You did. So I figured something happened, but it wasn't years along down the road until I found out that it was my friend that slept with him.
That's the worst too, man. I've had that happen to me before too, girl. There was a friend of mine slept with one of my boyfriends more than once, actually, too, more than one guy. And man, that one sucks too, because it's like, it's the person that you probably would have gone to cry about a breakup if he would have done it with somebody else is also not there. And you have to mourn too, friendship and the relationship at the same time. It's a really shitty feeling. That's kind of one of those things, like, why I never understand cheaters, because I'm not that kind of person. You know, I understand that there's bad relationships out there and everything, but in my opinion, like, if you're feeling that you need to walk out or you need to go out on somebody, then you should not be with them. There is no excuses. You're just hurting yourself. You're hurting them. And then you're bringing a third party into it. And everybody ends up getting hurt most of the time. And I love the people that think when they steal somebody else's, you know, husband or wife that you know, and then it happens, the same thing happens to them. Like, why they thought they were going to be different. So Kelly, what about you? You have any, stories about cheaters, and we're not talking about the show.
Well, okay, what's my bargain in life? Oh, we have a call.
Oh. Hi, Tawanda, welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm on mute listening to Kelly. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, good evening. Okay, so what's my bargain in love? My bargain in love is that I have experienced true love. And because I have experienced true love, I have not ever been cheated on. People that know of me would say, but wait a minute, there are circumstances where you have been cheated on. But they have not taken time out to really read into the balances. What happens to be a fact is that with true love, you get to a level, and if there is need for more growth, then you tend to have to separate to come back together.
Right.
And so far, that has been my outcome, that I have to separate to grow, and then we get back together. And believe it or not, we do not ever indefinitely separate. I believe that I have even prayed to indefinitely separate, because there's a torture that goes on when you really want relationship. Nobody wants to be by themselves. I mean, there may be a few people that are happy and content being alone, but I am not one of those people. So there is a tormentation that goes on, because I have to look at, like you said, intuition of perceiving into that future and then knowing the balance, right? So to tell yourself, I told you so, you're only going to be with this guy for a short little while, because that's not a forever. That's a bad thing to come back and say, I told you so. I believe. So far, thank God, knock on wood, I have not experienced it in relationship. I have experienced it somewhat in friendship, but then again, I kind of knew that balance was coming, because it was only like a temporary hold, or a girlfriend that just came close because she wants to be with the person that I'm with, right? Things like that. Even in family, it happens. So, yeah, I cannot say that it's cheating. I say that it's a part of unfolding in life and getting to your next level.
You know, I think for you, that that works, and that's a healthy thing, you know. And I think when people address issues, and it's not easy, especially with the way that the world has changed so much. I mean, especially since, you know, I remember my grandparents' relationship and how different things are in relationships these days, the demands on people, especially for women. I mean, because before, women, you know, stayed home, they were, you know, bare the children and stayed home and all this nonsense. And now we're raising kids, and we're working full time, and we're out there hosting podcasts and helping each other out, you know, and we've come a really long way. But so Alexis, how about you, girl? You got any for us?
Yes, I will admit that I have cheated, and I have been cheated on. But when I cheated, let's just be frank, my relationship was already at rock bottom, and it was over. We were just waiting to see who was going to pull the trigger first. And side note, he had a habit of whenever he wasn't getting his way or he felt like I wasn't paying enough attention to him, he would throw a tantrum, cause a fight, and threaten to leave me. So by the end of that relationship, I was just over it. So, yeah, technically I cheated with the guy that I'm in a relationship with now. But as to have I ever been cheated on, yes. I was the dumb idiot that decided to go to school really far away from home when I was 18 because I wanted to follow a boy. And by the time he decided where he was going to go to school, it was too late for me to apply anywhere near that. So the nearest school that I could get to was Vermont. And he cheated on me within the first week of school. He met someone that, let's just say, he thought was better. And in the end, it didn't work out for him. But, yes, I have been cheated on. I knew. And I did not react very well. And funny story, he ended up coming back like a month and a half later, hoping that if he appeared in person, he could get me to talk to him. Only he chose a very bad moment to walk onto campus because two people decided to play monkey in the middle with my shoe. I'm only about 5'3½, 5'4", and my guy friends are 16 and above, so they like to play monkey right in the middle with my stuff.
Oh my God.
Funny. So at that moment, I was trying to chase after my shoe, and one of the guys decided to tackle me onto the ground. And that was when the guy who cheated on me walked up to a 6'3" guy on top of a girl. And my then ex was like, "Hey, can I talk to you?" I was like, "I'm a little bit busy."
I was thinking about a whole different kind of monkey in the middle.
Well, I was really short, and they were really tall. And they played monkey.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine me chasing after them, trying to get my shoe back?
Did you guys get that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Monkey in the middle.
That's all.
Monkey in the middle.
Sorry, guys. You know me. I just got to get it out there. But, Tawanda, do you have any stories for us about cheating?
Being in relationships, like cheating on someone in a relationship?
Either you have you ever been cheated on or have you yourself cheated?
I'll tell you, Protestant America, my gosh.
You're calling
well,
in.
I know. I was thinking I was going to listen. I didn't know I was going to be admitting to guilt.
That means you forgot that I was hosting.
Oh, yeah, next time warn me. All right, but yeah, definitely nothing to brag about. I can ditto with everything that Alexa said in reference to cheating and being cheated on. You know, in earlier years, just with maturity and growing up, and I say that because, you know, we all do what we want to do, but I don't want to hurt anyone, and I definitely don't want anyone to hurt me. And I've been in situations and relationships where I got cheated on, and he definitely knew that was a mistake because I was not having it. And I've been in relationships to where I have cheated, but I didn't get caught. So that's, you know, still left up to the imagination.
You know,
but, yeah, I've definitely experienced both.
It's kind of crazy because, you know, a lot of things that happen to us as kids are formative, right? And so when I was a kid, I was like, 7 or 8 years old, and my biological mother, I've talked about her before, she's an awful person, and my poor dad tried to stick around because of me, and he made it about 7 years, and at the end, my mom cheated on him, which was insane, because my dad was such a good guy, and still is. I'm grateful to have a good relationship with him today, but so he ended up going out as well, because he was trying to stay for me, you know, and so both of them are cheating on each other.
Yeah.
My mom finds out about my dad. So what does she do? She gets drunk and wakes me up at 7 years old in the middle of the night, drags me into the car, drives up because she finds out who it's with, takes me over to this girl's house. And this was, you know, years and years ago where people left their doors open. She like runs this lady's fence over and brings me into this woman's house and shows me my father in bed with another woman. So I had this bad taste in my mouth from cheating the whole time, from when I was a kid. And then I've been cheated on multiple times before. And, you know, a lot of it comes from insecurities on the, your significant other's part of not feeling good enough or worthy. And so, I'm not, or at least that's what I've been told, but it still sucks because it does hurt, and I know that it's hurting going on both in the cheater and the person that's being cheated on. And that's why, relationships are so hard, because especially these days, it's so freaking easy for, for somebody to slide because of all this shit with, with the DMs and whatnot going on. Any of you guys have, what do you guys got to say about that? What about you, Kelly?
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the question. What do we have to say about what now?
I'm just talking about cheaters in general, and how nowadays it's so much easier because we have people sliding into each other's DMs, as they say, on social media, and
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, what do I say about cheating? First of all, cheating is not healthy. Cheating has a consequence, and the consequence is not ever good. So if you wanted to hear of the outcome of cheating has a negative consequence. And is it so popular now? Well, that depends on the individuals and how you are raised and how you end up raising yourself. Because, yes, our parents are raising us, and we're 18, 21, and still under their roof for simple things in life, material things. However, the emotional life, we understand from psychology that we are actually raising ourselves from the moment we are able to recognize that we have five fingers per hand and you're in the crib.
Right.
And so we have to admit to our, own, we have to be a responsible individual. And if you want to be a responsible individual, cheating is definitely not the way to go. That's
right.
That's in my experience and in my opinion, and we all have opinions. So, and thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Annie.
No, of course. No, this is what this is all about. Everybody has their different aspects and views on life. And I love that we all get together and we respect each other and we can be honest about our feelings because we all were brought up in a different way. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, I'm a stubborn ass, so all the traumatic things that have happened in my life are what formed me, because otherwise I wouldn't learn a damn thing because I'm too stubborn for that, so I'm grateful for it, and I don't regret anything that's happened in my life. I'm grateful because, if that all wouldn't have happened, my dad wouldn't have ended up leaving and marrying my stepmom, who ended up being a better mother to me than anybody ever could have.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so, yes, bad outcomes come out, but maybe, what we should focus on more is of what's making us feel that way and how we can healthily get out of something, and follow, like I said, follow our intuitions. And that's why I think, yes, it is okay to investigate, because if something's wrong, you guys know when they're, the fairy tale lasts for so long when you first start a relationship. And then when things start to go sour, the arguments start and, the irritation starts. I'm pretty sure we've all been through that before. And whether we deal with that with taking a break from each other, which is healthy for and I think a great thing, or if we deal with that, with breaking up with them immediately, or if we deal with that with sticking around for way too long because we're afraid of being alone. There's so many different aspects of it that can be talked about. Anyways, Corinne, what do you got to add on all of this?
Yeah, definitely with social media, I think is people more, accessible, which makes it, for the person that is a cheater, it makes it easier for them. And a lot of times people are getting extra attention, which may, get to them sometimes. So I think with social media, definitely probably increases facing people, straying a little bit.
Right. Hey, Tawanda, what are you going to add?
I just ditto what they said. I don't really have anything else to add to that. I definitely agree.
Okay, Alexis, how about you?
Don't get me.
don't get me wrong. Cheating is always going to come back with consequences, but every situation is different. And I'm never going to say I completely condone cheating, nor do I say what I did when I cheated was right, because I did end up hurting someone very much so. And, you know, every situation is going to have its consequences, and it's whether you can live with the consequences or not. But for me, cheating is just, you know, I've been cheated on. I much rather you just tell me that you don't want to be with me anymore. It's just that simple. Because cheating, when the other person is so in love with you, you do a lot of damage to that person's emotional well-being. Because somebody is in love with someone else, and that person betrays that person, then, like, you know, the one that was cheated on is going to take out all their anger on the next person, or they have this fear of being cheated on again, and it's not fair.
Well, you know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, I think that, like I said, everything's formative, right? And there's two different ways. Like an alcoholic child, a child of an alcoholic can go two different ways. They can go a way where alcohol, they don't follow that path because they're afraid of it, or they avoid it, or they're able to control it, or they can become the same person that their parent was. It's kind of the same idea that, you know, if you see that as a child and it's something that was part of your childhood, then maybe you get cheated on by a couple people or one even, and that sets it off for you that it becomes your response when you're unhappy in a relationship. And I kind of believe that's the psychological thing about it. I like to make up my own opinion about these things sometimes to make myself feel better, I guess. But we need to take a break. As usual, I always love talking to you girls, and we can talk forever. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about alcohol and drug abuse and intuitions about that.
Become a patron of Clutch by the Real Girlfriends Across America. By supporting creators you love on Patreon, you're becoming an active participant in their creative process. As a member, you receive exclusive content, community access, behind-the-scenes updates, and the pride of your work that matters to you. Joining is easy. Visit patreon.com/realgirlfriendsacrossamerica. That's patreon.com/realgirlfriendsacrossamerica. Every donation helps.
Clutch by RGAA is powered by Building Rome. Building Rome, Inc. is a professional company that provides an array of services to freelancers, creatives, virtual hustlers, and business owners. For more information on hiring Building Rome, log on to the website at buildingromeinc.com. Once again, the website is buildingromeinc.com.
Clutch onto your drinks while we listen to today's trending news story. Conchita Farewell, best known for her role as Bertha, the housekeeper in Two and a Half Men, died on Tuesday in Sherman Oaks, California. Warner Brothers Television confirmed she was 77. We are saddened by the loss of Conchita Farewell and are grateful for the years she brought us last as Bertha, which will live on forever. Farewell was hospitalized in May and spent more than 4 weeks in the ICU center, where she went into cardiac arrest at one point. The actress was relocated to a long-term treatment center, where she was on a respirator and dialysis. Farewell was most recognized for playing Bertha on all 12 seasons of Two and a Half Men, for which she received 2 Primetime Emmy Awards nominations, once in 2005 and another in 2007, for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. She appeared in a total of 212 episodes from 2003 to 2015. She will be missed. And that's it for today's trending news break.
All right, well, welcome back. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, especially because something I've noticed in the past, 9 months or so, that American people together have been going through with this pandemic is that I've noticed a lot of people who have increased their intake of alcohol, as well as other abusive drugs, because, you have somebody employed and they were isolated at home and they were receiving all this money that they were, I think they were seeking out a way to numb themselves. And I've seen a lot of it, and it's really sad. And so I feel like maybe as our, if we reach out to our friends a little bit, maybe we can help before it becomes too much of an issue, or maybe we have a fear that one of our friends is heading down a bad path. Maybe we can help them out a little bit, because trust me, from experience, I know that you don't want to wait too long and spend 2 years of your life trying to get somebody sober that just isn't going to come, the right way. So any of you guys have any stories about, or any, anybody that you know or love that has some signs and symptoms you can share with us that that might be helpful?
If I may, it seems to be that addictions are a selfish moment, and people are looking for themselves. Somehow they turn to addictions because they may believe that they're more concentrated and are able to focus more than on themselves, than the outside circle or the other individual. Unfortunate.
Right.
Instead of focusing on bringing out their inner child and getting into like hobbies and things that are constructive, they tend to use, alcohol or other substance that are abusive and destructive as well, because it destroys them versus it'll destroy you before you can build. So it's going to bring you down before you can be up, if you're lucky enough to get back up.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially mental health is such a huge thing, that mental health awareness, because people have a hard time accepting that something's wrong with their brain, basically, a chemical imbalance or whatever is going on to make them feel so depressed or suicidal, or, it's such a sad thing. I've experienced so many different people, bipolar, suicidal, who are, depressed, and it's such a horrible, sad thing to see people that don't want to get help or refuse to get help because they're afraid. And to me, I have some pretty bad anxiety and PTSD, and I've been blessed. Some may not agree with that, but I don't care, because it's what helps me and what helps keep me grounded after the things that I've been through, because all of the prescription medications that I ever took just made me crazier, or they made me sad, and I wasn't a sad person. Hey, Tawanda, what do you think?
Okay, I'm sorry about that. What was the question again, Annie?
We're talking about alcohol and drug abuse, and since the pandemic, I have a big fear, and I've noticed in some of my people and my friends that their alcohol use has increased tremendously, and I see a pattern lately in isolation that people are drinking more and spending money because they don't have things to do. So we're talking about that and some of the signs and symptoms that you might know about, or any experiences you've had with this.
Well, I was on a show previously. We were talking about similar things in reference to the pandemic. And I know that I heard, around mid-March when the pandemic first came, they were talking about the 911 calls had increased by 50%, and it was mostly women calling. People cope with situations differently. So a lot of times, if we have a habit, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, anything, we tend to do more of it if we are having anxiety, we don't have anything else to do, we have more time on our hands. So, yeah, I've definitely seen that. And one of the things I continue to say over and over to people is power and associations. When you're plugged into certain things, like, for example, someone is plugging into this podcast, which is 5 nights a week, hey, you know what? Let me get my mind off of it. Let me plug into something positive. Let me learn something new. Even if you plug into other people, that's what helps, and that's what's helped me. When I first found out about the pandemic, for example, for the first 2 weeks, I was like, oh, my gosh, am I going crazy? Is the world ending?
And then I had to get myself back to get like, okay, get it together, plug in, get connected, build your associations. And so that's what I've done, because unfortunately, I personally don't know anyone struggling with like alcohol and drug abuse. That's in my network. However, just from knowing people in general, people have been having all types of issues and problems and spending money they don't have. And that's the other thing. Like, how the hell are you still spending money? You don't have any. But people are going crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, absolutely. Even with the pandemic and opening back up markets, people are like, listen, I don't even care what's going on with the pandemic. I got to get out of the house. I got to go back to work. I got to get out. Even against their better judgment and safety, because people don't want to stay home. And the last thing I want to say is, I never understood, like, hell, I thought home was, like, the best place to be. But I guess maybe if you're home, you ain't making no money, then that's different. But, yeah, definitely.
May I say something?
Oh, yeah, of course. Go ahead, Alexis.
I was going to say that while I can see what Kelly's saying, it is slightly true, where people, some of their addictions can be somewhat selfish. I don't really think that calling people selfish when they have an addiction is going to ring true for the majority of them. Because every person who suffers from an addiction has a trigger. Something must have triggered them to turn to alcohol, to turn to meds, to turn to drugs. And a lot of times I have seen people who have addictions suffer because they're in pain themselves. And for them, it's easier for them to turn to the wrong things than it is for them to seek out the therapy and the help that they need to deal with whatever it is that the trigger is and how to cope and to move on to a healthier lifestyle. Because a lot of times people are in so much pain, they choose things to numb pain. Because if you were to ask an alcoholic, well, why do you drink? Sometimes they'll like, because my day is bad or my life sucks and stuff like that. So they drink or they choose to do drugs because it temporarily takes away that pain. So for them, it's easier to do that than it is to face the pain, get the help that they need, and to seek out therapy to work on whatever it is that caused it, how to cope and to move on to a healthier life.
Yeah. Right, that's why it's called a selfish moment. It's called a selfish moment, not being selfish. If I said being selfish, I stand corrected. It's having a selfish moment so they can find themselves, so that the unhappy life or the life that they're not wanting that they're living, or the wife that's not giving them the satisfaction that maybe they believed was available, you know, all the time, indefinite, that they can suppress that and then turn to themselves for a moment. It's a selfish moment, because when they drink, they're still satisfying their thirst, right? If they're getting drunk, it's what they wanted to reach so that they can forget the problem. So it's a selfish moment. They're getting away from the problem and turning maybe a scope on them.
Can I interject? This is Annie, and you know, I have some personal experience, a lot of personal experience with this, and let me just tell you from my personal experience, there are absolutely multiple selfish moments. There is multiple self-centeredness going on with people who are for years involved in drugs and drug addicts. And yes, a lot of it has to do with mental health and mental wellness, but let me just tell you that most of the time, at least from my experience, those people have people that love them and have people that tried multiple times, spent every penny they had, multiple times, you know, dealt with physical and mental and emotional abuse day after day, sober for years. And I speak, like I said, from personal experience, it was completely self-centered. And I finally had to make the stand and walk away because I was, you know, slowly being drugged down as well. And it wasn't fair. And that was nothing that I did wrong in that situation whatsoever. And it was completely selfish to continue to take every penny I had, the money from me, and, you know, and strangle me and all the other fun things that happened. So in my opinion, yes, there is a lot of self-centeredness and selfishness that goes on with relapsers as well. I mean, for the most part.
Wow, that's pretty scary. And I'm glad that you have survived it. And thank you for sharing that. That's way out there. And you think that you only hear that and it's a fairy tale. But Annie, I'm glad that you have survived it. And then I thank God that my experiences of addictions have not been over the hilt like that. And that family and friends got out, you know, thank God. Knock on wood.
You know, I've lost multiple family members to drug abuse. I had an uncle that was on cocaine. Another uncle that was found in the ditch because he had been on PCP. I had another uncle die in a motorcycle accident from he was drunk driving. That was just before I turned 18. My family's big, and my family is like German, Irish, Russian, Polish, Czechoslovakian, Lithuanian. So just add in every drinker, you know, in the genes. And it was always a thing. I don't drink a lot, you know what I mean? I control my drinking, which was always an issue, but I did fall under the pain pill addiction. And, you know, I never intended for that. It's just that I was prescribed that medication and I was on it for 5 years, and I fell into addiction, and I spent time in AA. So I've been on both ends of it, and it's such a shitty place to be because I had way too much empathy and way too much guilt to let it go on for longer than I should have, you know? So we all have to know the signs and symptoms, and there's a lot of physical signs, like weight loss for alcoholism. If people's hair can fall out, their skin starts to turn yellow, passing out, different sleep patterns, erratic sleeping habits, all those kind of things are things that you notice about people that may be doing things they shouldn't be doing. And if you love them, try to hit it up early and quick and just ask them up front. Make sure that you're honest. Most of the time they're going to lie, but at least you're doing your diligence. But don't ever feel guilty if you have to walk away, if you've tried and you have to walk away, because I'm telling you right now, it'll save your life, you know? Corinne, you got anything to add?
I don't know anyone personally that dealt with, I do know someone that personally dealt with addiction. I was about to say don't, but yet, in terms of my own self, like, I think just when the pandemic helped, started, like, I maybe spent a little bit more money than I should have. That didn't last long just because I'm paranoid about my money going down too low. Yeah. But I definitely did spend more money on things I probably shouldn't have.
Right. So, do we still have another caller on the line? Coffee, I think it was.
Yes. So, sorry, guys.
No, we're great. Welcome to the show. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Dealing with addiction and on that basis, my mom struggled with drugs most of my life. And as an adult, I have dipped in and out. Like, I've never, like, gotten to the point where, like, I needed to, like, have an intervention or anything. But there were times where I was very, very selfish in wanting to escape my own personal reality.
Right.
And it was the easiest way, you know, to where, you know, like, and the point was to get drunk. It's like not to have a drink, but to not have to deal with it. Like, I'm so, like, in this zone, and I'm just feeling this moment, and for this moment, like, I don't feel the fear of life, because, like, I'm just enjoying this moment until in the morning, and I have a hangover, right? You know, like, and I really had to, like, look within myself, you know, and really, like, make some changes,
right?
If, you know, like, I was gonna get to where I wanted to be. And for me, I really didn't have a strong support system, but I'm a very strong woman. And, like, I just looked inward to God, you know, like, tried to do things that made me happy, positive, and be around positive people who were in recovery, you know. And I met a woman, and she just showed me that there was a way for me to still enjoy myself without losing myself. And Yeah, like, so it took a lot of self-care, you know, like, for me to, like, actually, like, fall in love with myself and go through, like, a lot of heartbreaks and, you know, like, look back, like, this really isn't the life that you want, you know, like, you know what you want, you just don't really know how to get there. And once you identify with, you know, like, what makes you happy, it's easy for you to make baby steps, like, you know. Like, and that's kind of what it was until it was like, okay, like I took, like I stopped for like some months, you know, like 9 months, 10 months, like almost a year. And then, you know, like when I did drink, you feel me, I was able to enjoy my drink, you know, and I was drinking because I wanted to just have a drink and relax and not like just be like, oh my gosh, like I'm so stressed out on life. Because if you are feeling stressed, then guess what? You're going to be stressed. You know, like you are what you eat, you know, like, and if you speak that over yourself.
I think one of the biggest things we need to learn, and I probably learned it a little late in life as well, is that, you know, you have to earn it and you have to work hard for the good, because anything that's going to give you that great of a feeling so quickly, which, by the way, those great feelings go away rather quickly, and the high gets shorter and it gets smaller and it's not as easy to get, and then you're just strung out, you know. And so when that good feeling comes quickly like that, it's not what you need in life. Like, you have to work and you have to earn it. And it's not something that we want to do, because everybody who doesn't want everything handed to them on a silver platter, but, you know, that's not the way life works. Yeah, so does anybody else have anything they want to add tonight?
Well, the second part of the question was how to recognize that a person is on addiction, right?
Yes.
I believe that was the second part of your question. And I would have to go with that where there is love and caring, you're going to recognize that something is wrong. However, be careful not to accuse a person of addictions necessarily, especially if you know that they have histories of setbacks and downfalls.
Right.
Measure and be sensitive in approaching to attempt to have the person themselves come forth and admit to where they are having crisis. It may not always be that they have turned back to a that they've had a setback, right? And regress back to picking up substance. It may just very well be that they have that they are at the beginning of reaching for an exit. And so we need to be very sensitive and respectful and not accuse the individual. And then we are also needing, in a love relationship or relationships, we are needing to measure ourselves. Because sometimes the disappointments can trigger them, because as you're reaching to continue your legal assignments or studies, they are missing you. And then there's like a gap where you're missing each other. So it's nice to come to the table and express, have conversations, and always question, is something wrong? You know, is everything okay? Right. And then admit to where you feel that you're losing them or that there's a gap.
Right.
That would be the experience.
And this, of course, obviously, with anybody's children, you know, like, you need to know your children's behavior and what they've got going on. And in my opinion, you know, I think, you know, kids are welcome to. I grew up in a different era, and I also lived in Germany, so things were a lot different for me, and I learned responsibility early, and I wish that more of the kids, you know, these days, I hate saying that, but, you know, had a little more responsibility put upon them, because I think generations have changed a lot, you know, so I think you got to pay attention to what your kids are doing and be nosy about it, because it is your business, and kids are dying, you know, by eating friggin' Tide Pods. I mean, come on. What the hell is that?
I definitely agree with that.
All right, well, I appreciate everybody calling in tonight. Thank you guys so much for letting me host. I can't wait till next time. I'll be on next Tuesday, and tomorrow we're going to have another great topic, so make sure you join us. We're always on Sunday through Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. Have a peaceful and prosperous night, my friends.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Yet another episode of Clutch, a podcast by Real Girlfriends Across America. Clutch onto us tight by following us on all of our social media platforms. This includes Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook. Like, share, and follow us. Did you miss the episode? Don't worry. You can listen to us anywhere where podcasts are being played, including Apple Podcasts, Google, Anchor, Spotify, and Speaker. Don't forget to watch us on YouTube by searching for Real Girlfriends Across America and visit our website at www.realgirlfriends.org. And until next time, clutch on to your best friend and stay tuned.